More than half of all companies globally are family-owned or operated. Family businesses contribute 70% of the world's GDP and account for 65% of jobs. Their voices are important. Their stories must be told.
Brought to you by the award-winning publication, Tharavat Magazine. This is the Family Business Voice with your host, Ramya El-Aghami.
Ahmed Namara was always expected to join his family's automobile parts importing business, the Al-Manar Group. After graduating in 1997, Ahmed, along with his twin brother Mohammed, entered the firm with high hopes and fresh ideas. However, like many next-generation members, Ahmed and his brother struggled to bridge the gap between their academic knowledge and the realities of a well-established family firm. Ahmed stayed on and committed himself to a challenging new manufacturing project. Over nearly 12 years, his dedication led to significant success and growth for the family business. Yet he realized he had become the very embodiment of the status quo he once resisted. This epiphany drove him back to academia, where he became a professor at his alma mater and embarked on a personal journey of self-development. In this episode, Ahmed tells us about this transformative journey and why personal growth ultimately lies at the core of family business success. Enjoy this episode with Ahmed. Welcome, Ahmed, to the Family Business Voice podcast. We're so happy to have you here with us today. Thank you for joining.
Thank you, Ramya. Thank you. Same here.
Ahmed, I'm very excited about our conversation today because when you and I met, we had this very interesting exploration of your journey with your family business. And you told the story of you joining, your brother joining, and how you had this huge transformation journey, not just of the family business itself, which Al-Manar Group has grown into such a beautiful business from where it started, but also of your own transformation during that time. We're going to talk about personal growth and how it helps us become more effective family business members. I think it's really interesting. I think the first thing we have to say, like disclaimer, you are a twin, and that makes how you joined the family business quite an interesting story, because not only did you join the family business, you joined it at the same time as your twin brother. So take us back into this story, what that was like when you and your brother decided to join and how that went.
First of all, hello, I'm very happy to be here. Actually, it was not a decision to join my family business. It was something planned by my father since we are young. As you said, I have a twin brother, and we both are the younger children of our parents. We have two elder sisters, but they are not working in the business. And then comes the two twin sons. The difference in age between us and our father is 40 years. So my father was counting the days till we graduate from the university to join the So we didn't have any other plan, actually. We graduated in 1997 from American University in Cairo. I was majoring in business administration, minor economics, and my brother was majoring economics, minor business administration. And then actually we joined the family business second day after the commencement. The commencement was a Saturday, and we joined Monday because Sunday was a weekend. Not for any other reason, because he was, as I told you, waiting for that day. As soon as we joined, there was quite a culture shock between what we studied in the university and the real world. And 2-3 months, we both felt the same feeling, that we are not happy. Somehow, we don't feel that we fit in. At that time, it was a 22 years old company, because the company was established in 1975. So most of the employees are old employees, and it's very hard to find a spot for you to add value within this organization. At the same time, there are lots of expectations from the family and from the employees from us. These are the new grads from American University in Cairo. They are well educated. So let's see what value they can add. But at the same time, it's very hard to add value. So few months later, my brother was vocal about it, and he said to my father, you know what, I'm out of here. I decided to open my own business. And at that time, there was the rise of the computers, hardware and softwares and so on. So he decided to open a company for computers. And actually, I was his partner, but he was the one who would be managing this business. What he said to my father was exactly what I felt. I felt that I want to be out of here as well. But he was actually quicker than me. For me, it was very hard that I will say the same thing to my father. We would be both disappointing him, and I didn't want to do that to him. So I decided, okay, I will continue the journey and see how things would go. First few years were very, very, very tough. Actually, I remember every day in the morning, I was not feeling okay to go to work every day. I feel that I don't have any value add, wasting my time. All my peers at the university were updating themselves. They are joining multinationals, exposed to new systems, new experiences, new markets, and so on. I was locked in. We were only importers and distributors of automotive spare parts. So it was just one company at that time. Few years later, I had this golden chance that we signed a contract with one of the spare part companies that we used to represent in Egypt, that we manufacture the product that we used to import. We will manufacture it locally in Egypt. So we will open a manufacturing company and we will start bottling a brake fluid. The product was a brake fluid under license from this multinational. So at that point, I felt that this is a golden opportunity because nobody in the organization had an experience in manufacturing. And actually, I had an advantage, an edge over them, which is the education. I had a good education. So I decided that I told my father, look, this is my opportunity. I need to take this new project on my shoulders and I will be responsible fully from it, starting from building the team, building the factory itself, buying the machinery, technical training courses in the labs in France and so on. Everything. Starting from the first brick till we started the factory in early 2002. And it was a chance for me to try to add something, to apply my point of view, to apply my education and so on.
But Ahmed, tell me something, because I find this really interesting, right? Like, so this pivotal moment comes in. So this chance, and you say it in an interesting way where you say like, it put us all at par because it was something new and everyone had to be educated. So it was almost like no one could hold an advantage over you in that moment. So it was your opportunity to create an advantage. So do you think in retrospect, it would have always come down to that kind of an opportunity? There had to be something entirely new to come your way for you to be able to be successful in the family business. Do you think that was ultimately the solution?
Not necessarily entirely new, but the point is that whenever you have a project that you have high ownership of it, it becomes your baby. You really give it everything and you have the chance to apply whatever you see without taking big risks, like if you are going to change something that is 22 years old working this way and you see that there are some points that you can add, but you don't have even the guts to force it because simply it's already working and you don't want to be the one who disrupts something. So having a new project, it's an opportunity because there is no base. You are starting something from scratch. So even the worst case scenario, if it didn't work, that it won't be because of Ahmed, because it might be because we are not ready for manufacturing, the country, economic situation. It can be many factors. So it gave me this freedom to really apply whatever I see and the education I took and so on. But I fell in another trap because I was so much consumed in the new project. It took me around 8 years. I was really consumed that I forgot my self-development, because building something from scratch, it really takes from you many things and it consumes time. So a few years later, yes, the business was growing and yes, our position in the market was better and so on. And now we have manufacturing company beside the trading company. But I realized that I changed.
What were the symptoms of that? Because I'm interested in you explaining that a little bit more, Ahmed. Like, why did you feel that way suddenly? What were the factors that indicated that to you?
When I was in the university, I had this status quo among my peers in the university. I was very clever. And whenever we sit and discuss something, I always felt at that time that I have an edge in terms of educational stuff. I remember in 2009, this was also a pivotal point. I was sitting with a few of my university friends, and it was long time that we didn't see each other. And they were discussing something business-wise with business terminologies that I didn't understand at all. And because they were working in multinationals, so they were exposed to multinational concepts and business terminologies and international experiences and so on, I felt that, yes, I did something. I did a good project and I developed my family business. But in these 12 years since graduation, I lost something during this. I lost something personal that I used to have. At that time, it was, I remember even the location, the venue when where we were sitting. I remember my feeling. I remember the discussion with my wife after this meeting. I remember everything because it was really an important point in my life. And at that point, I told myself, I have two options. First option, I keep dealing with myself as a victim. Victim of that I sacrificed my personal development because of the family business, because of the family, that I lost so many time, so much time and so on. Or it's never too late. At that time, I was 34 years old. So it's never too late. I consider myself still fresh grad and put a development plan to myself, and it's never too late. And actually, I really had this discussion with myself. I'm not saying something after time passes to make it look like
it
as
was
if
at
it
that
was.
Moment. At that moment, it was really happening in your head. Yeah,
this discussion was happening in my head. At that time, I start connecting with the American University in Cairo again to check about executive courses, executive education, and I put like a bucket list, Ramya. I said that I need to prove to myself that not only I will develop myself, I will develop myself to the extent that I will be teaching in the American University in Cairo, in School of Business where I graduated. And thank God now I'm teaching in the American University in Cairo in School of Business. So it was a bucket list. It was something to prove to myself that I can still do it. Because I at that time, I remember that I felt something that it was very bad, horrible, that I lost something valuable that I had. So I need to gain it back. One of the KPIs to think that I gain it back, I will teach it in the American University in Cairo. And thank God I finished many executive courses in many, every year I have this plan. This year I will go to this school. So I went to Stanford, I went to IE, I went to INSEAD, I went to Kellogg in Chicago. I finished my master's degree. And now these days, actually in a few months, I will finish my doctorate degree as well in family business in Paris School of Business. And I'm teaching family business as well, a course in the American University in Cairo.
When you took that step, and at that time you were so used to do everything for the family business, right? You had chosen it, you were committed to it, you had that project which you set up very, very successfully, the manufacturing part. And then you make that decision. How did it impact sort of like how you balanced that with your responsibilities in the family business? Did it cause you a dilemma, or was the family business at that point ready to let you have the space that you needed to pursue this?
Whatever we are there now and as a place for our family business now, I think we grew in terms of revenue around 100 times since graduation. This is because the executive education and the executive master's degree that I took. I was very focused that I apply whatever I learned in the courses and in the masters firsthand in my business. Actually, whatever notes I was taking in class, it was not notes because of the exam or because of anything. It was notes of points that is applicable to my business. So I was taking practical notes, and I had at that time confidence that I can take risks. I can now, I have this luxury to take risks and to change the direction of my business. And thank God we had a big transformation in our family business accordingly. And we had this big project, mainly corporate governance, and we applied some pillars of the family governance in 2018. So we even further changed the family business, not only as operation, but also as how we do business strategically, not only day-to-day and the tactics. And we have lots of governance practices like internal auditor, risk officer, sets of XCOMs, S&OPs. We changed even the policies, procedures. We had family hiring policy, everything. So it really impacted. And of course, I have to acknowledge the main driver for this success is my father, 100%. Because he was the one supporting me, because there are lots of changes. And, you know, governance means change in control. Since 1975, the family used to take whatever decisions they take without anybody telling them why you take this decision. It's a bit hard for them to govern the company with board of directors and to manage it professionally with authority matrix. So I have to acknowledge that without the support of my father, I was really surprised how at that age you are willing to let go of this control willingly, and you are really supporting your son blindly. Sometimes there are decisions that I know that you are not persuaded 100%, but you say, okay, you are driving now, I trust you, I support you, and just go ahead and I will be at your back. He was supporting me big time. So it was one of the main factors for success.
And I think it's interesting you say that, because one of my next questions was going to be, it's a difficult position to have in the family when you're the instigator of change, right? When you're the person who has the foresight to understand, okay, it needs to happen now, even if it doesn't seem urgent to you, but we need to make these adjustments now. And it's almost like you tend to become a very unpopular family member sometimes in those situations, because you're always the one who brings the bad news that there's more work to be done. So you just mentioned, you know, your father's support as being really key in this. But then did you consciously have conversations and communicate with the family in a way to take them on this journey? Like, were you trying to, I don't know, did you try to make it exciting for them and not just like a chore? Because I understand what you mean. Like, obviously having the patriarch behind you is key, because of course, like, he's a founder, and that's like it's a big thing, but still could have caused like way more resistance. So what did you do in order to take the whole family on the journey and avoid conflict?
Of course, let's agree that I am in the front line. At the end of the day, I am the one who is communicating everything. My father is supporting me, and he's giving me this strength to be in the front line. We passed through several stages throughout our journey in the company and in the family. First, when I graduated, when I started just organizing the incomes coming to the different family members, because my father was dealing with us before I joined, like we're all his children. So whoever wants anything, just give him. And maybe one of the children is more shy than the other, so the other is asking for something, the other is shying out. But my father, at the end of the day, he is trying to cater to everybody. Moving to, we are now shareholders. So we are, yes, family members and siblings and so on. So we have, everything has to be organized. Actually, this step, it might seem a simple step, but it was a big change. And I remember at that time, my siblings were trying to figure out my character. Is he the guy who is trying to make a buzz when he entered the business and try to change things? And it took me some time to gain really their trust. Now, thank God they are following me blindly. They actually, I am forcing to give them updates about the business. And they're thinking, you know what, we trust you. But it took me a long time, because they were trying to figure out my character, and building the trust, it takes time. Moving to the governance, when we, for example, decided that we will develop family hiring policy, we made sure two things happen. First, a consultant has to be around for an objective point of view, an objective angle, our perspective. And second, that we made a workshop. We invited all family members 16 years and above, and we made sure that they will be the one who will craft this family hiring policy. It has to come from within. For them to be loyal to this, they have to feel ownership that we are the one that contributed in developing this family hiring policy. Of course, with voting and so on. So even there were some points in the policy, it was proposed by me, and I thought my son, my daughter were there, my niece, my nephew, there will be some authority that they will accept whatever I propose. Actually, they voted to change some of what I proposed because they thought that it's more applicable to them. And I approved as long as the majority approve. And now they feel that they are part of this policy.
There's respect for their decision and their voice. Yeah. Mm.
So I try as much as I can to communicate with all family members regarding any changes, any new projects, new challenges. Like I said, for example, a corporate governance project, whatever. And I try to make this communication in an informal way because I don't want to make a big fuss about it. I just want to informal gathering like family lunch or so. I say, okay, now we finished. I just have an announcement. I want to say so-and-so. I have an announcement, so-and-so. It comes organically and in a very smooth way.
I find your story particularly interesting because it's almost like the moment you moved out of your comfort zone. So you realized you had that moment where you realized, I'm not living up to my potential anymore. Like, what's happening? I need to do something about it. You were able to move your family business out of its comfort zone as well. And I think there's such an interesting cause and effect there, right? Like in terms of like how that worked out for you. I kind of really hope that there's really a lesson in there as well for other next gens listening to this, that, you know, there's truly a requirement for you to take yourself out of the zone where you are in order to really have an impact. And we'll talk a little bit more about the advice that you have for next gens in a second. But I also want to just ask you, Ahmed, because now you're getting your PhD. I don't know how many more degrees you can actually take now. So the question is, what is personal development going to look like for you in the future? Like, you know, have you already thought about what happens next for you, like how you will stimulate yourself further in the future? Or is that not clear to you yet?
This question was asked by my daughter 2 days ago. There are a few things that I'm planning to. First of all, there's a program that I dreamed to join since a few years in Harvard. It's a 3 years program and it's a life-changing program. And it's general management domain. It has many, many, many pillars in the management from finance, marketing, and so on. And of course, the networking is very good. And one of my friends, he did this project or course and it changed his life. So this is one of my plan, inshallah, after a doctorate. And I don't know what else, but I will keep developing myself even through executive programs because executive programs change with the AI and all the new domains that is disrupting the business. So I think that we cannot say that, okay, I have enough education, I can stop here because things are changing very fast. By the way, in my story that my brother, my twin brother, rejoined the business after 10 years or actually 15 years. 15 years exactly. I asked him, please, please, business is growing. I need you to come and join and help. And he was kind enough that he accepted my invitation. And actually now he is responsible for the trading company. And also he is helping me in the manufacturing company, in the HR and the IT, because he has an IT experience.
So 15 years later, the timing was right for him. That's lovely to hear.
So that now the company, the structure, the business lines and so on, now I think it's interesting that I can accept the invitation. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, timing is everything. I think it's a wonderful thing to give someone a way back to the family business and not to make it into a decision where once they leave, they can never come back. I always think that's a big shame when families do that. So it's wonderful to hear that he's by your side again there. Ahmed, you teach a lot of young people, of course, at the university and you see them and you teach particularly also family business. So what do you see when you look at this next generation of young people? Like, you know, what are you dying to tell them now and what do you want them to be prepared for? Because, of course, also your environment like Egypt has massively changed over the last 20 years. So their environment, again, is very different. And as you just said, technology is moving at a even more rapid pace now. So what is the advice that you give these young people that you teach and try to inspire?
The new generations, they are very much updated regarding technology, regarding new tools that can be used. Maybe they are more updated than the businesses. But what I always try to give them in the class is the practical flavor, because I don't want them to face what I faced when I graduated from the university. As much as the academia is very, very important, but the bridge between the academia and the practical life has to be built in the university time. To wait for the new grads to face the real world and to be shocked and to take a few years of their life to try to adapt to the new situation, I think that it's a waste of time. So they have things that they can offer, but they have to be prepared. And mostly it's soft skills, it's social intelligence, how to deal with government, how to deal with banks, how to deal with different culture inside the organization and different stakeholders. These are not written in the books, but they have to be culturally fit with the country they are dealing in. To give you an example, I had last semester after it finished, I had three students who joined the company as interns for 3 months. Okay, I was very much cautious and conscious to make them see the full picture in the business, not like the normal internship program where they are responsible for a certain task, they do it and they take this experience and that's it. Starting from they take 2 weeks, 360 through all the departments, then they chose the commercial department. Okay, so you can imagine that one day they are riding with a small sales rep in a small van, in a small governorate to pass by the retail shops. And the second day they are sitting in an XCOM meeting with all the directors of the company. So you can imagine they saw everything. They saw how things are done in the big executive rooms, top management, and down to the small sales rep, the small worker in the machine and so on. So today actually was the farewell of one of them. He came to me in the morning and told me, look, what I learned in these 3 months, I think that it can take me 3 years to learn in any other company, because he joined everything, every levels in the organization. I try to minimize the time for these generations because things are changing. Maybe in the past, it was okay to spend 3 years to grasp and take the experience. Now, things are changing.
We don't have time.
For 3 years is a lot now. So I'm trying to, if I want to add something to this generation, to try to bridge the gap as quick as possible for them to apply the technology. Because if they apply the technology that they have without having the know-how of doing business, for example, in Egypt, they will fail. And to try to wait till taking the good know-how, they will lose time and the technology will change. But to try to apply it as soon as possible, I think they will have a chance.
Real-time learning. And I think this is so interesting. You're able to have this relationship with interns and students, etc. Last question for you, Ahmed, is a private one. You've already told us about your daughter already asking you very interesting questions in that case. Like, she should be a podcaster in the future. So she's asked you interesting questions already. How do you feel about your children in relation to the family business?
It's a rebound for me. I insisted that they don't join in the beginning. I have 4 kids, 2 boys and 2 girls. Okay. My eldest son is now about to be 23 years old, 22 and a half. So he graduated from university already, and he's working in the States. He's working in Tesla. He's an industrial engineer. And my daughter, eldest daughter, is in the American University in Cairo studying integrated marketing and communication. And then I have a boy and girl in the school. Actually, answering your question, I am very much cautious that they don't join the business, the family business, unless they have the full chance outside. They explore the world, they explore their career path, they explore whatever line of business they are interested in. Maybe one of them is interested to be an artist, whatever. I will not impose anything on them. And after they take their full chance of, maybe my son will find his career path in Tesla, for example, and he will say, okay, I am only an owner in the family business. I'm not interested to join. I will support him 100%. But if after 3 to 5 years and he finishes his master's degree and he worked in a multinational and everything, and he see that, you know what, no, I'm not that interested to continue my career path in multinational. I want to join my family business, more than welcome. But we have to, as a family business, we have to have a vacancy for him and we have to make sure that he will add value. And even if we didn't find that he will add value to the current business, maybe he will come with a new project to be added to the family business. Because what I felt in the first 2 to 3 years of my business life, I don't want my children to feel it. That they go every day to a place that they feel that they are not adding value, that they feel that they are wasting their time. I don't want my children to feel this. So unless they are coming with something solid to add value, and to, I will support them and give them the full chance, and I will take risk with them, no problem. I will not put any pressure that they have to succeed, but I want to make sure that they are not coming every day to the work feeling that they are not adding value.
Ahmed, thank you very much for talking to us about your journey. This has been full of lessons for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Family Business Voice. Subscribe to our channels now on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify to be notified of our weekly episodes.